To make a donation, visit biblicallycorrectpodcast.org/donate. And if you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. Thank you for your support. Who is the Holy Spirit? Welcome to the Biblically Correct Podcast. Shalom, y'all. This is the Biblically Correct Podcast, teaching biblical correctness in a biblically incorrect world. My name is Kevin Jeffrey. I am a Jewish follower of the Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, and I love teaching the scriptures. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? How do we connect and interact with him? How do we yield to and move with him in our daily lives? Over the next three episodes, these are the questions we'll be looking to answer about the Holy Spirit. Not according to doctrinal faith traditions or subjective personal experience, but according to the written revelation of Scripture. The Holy Spirit is our invisible partner in living out the Word of God, in walking in obedience, power, and righteousness, in the service of the Master Yeshua. He isn't some unknowable, mysterious force to be feared or shunned like a supernatural specter, but he also isn't some New Age, magical, spiritual spigot that we can just switch on while we turn off our mind for our own personal mystical indulgence. My purpose with this series is to introduce or to reintroduce you to the Spirit of the Scriptures. My goal is to encourage us all toward a balance in the way we see and treat and understand the Spirit, tempering the charismatic excesses that many have from hyper-focusing on him, while at the same time encouraging a more conscious, purposeful, and active spirituality that many are lacking from ignoring him altogether. I want to try to bring the Holy Spirit into focus for all of us so that we can become more confident, more effective, and more biblically spiritual disciples of Messiah. Today I'll be focusing on answering the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Now, the Holy Spirit is mentioned and referred to in many different places and contexts in the Bible. And while we see him called Holy Spirit most often in the New Covenant Scriptures, the reference also appears three times in the Hebrew Scriptures, twice in Isaiah 63 and once in Psalm 51:11, where David has sinned and is pleading with God, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." But what is a Holy Spirit? What exactly does that mean? Well, first, the word Spirit in the Bible is translating the Hebrew word Ruach, as well as the Greek word Pneuma. And depending upon context, they can both mean either breath, wind, or spirit. In early modern English Bibles, such as Wycliffe or the King James Version, you'll instead see it translated as ghost. But since the modern English definition of ghost has changed so significantly over the centuries, ghost is no longer an accurate translation of the biblical term. In today's language, spirit is correct. So what then is a spirit, and what can it do? Well, the scriptures identify several kinds of spirits. First, in the context of the Holy Spirit, we find him in many different ways interacting with the people of God. For instance, Yeshua says in Luke chapter 12, verse 12, that in times of persecution, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And similarly, speaking of prophecy in 2 Peter 1:21, Peter explains that no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So in just these two examples, we see that the Holy Spirit can teach and carry us in the ways that he wants us to go. And these are just two examples of many in which the Spirit can interact with us as believers. The scriptures also speak of different kinds of spirits in contrast to the Holy Spirit, such as we might find today in the occult or other pagan practices, ideologies, and mysticisms. For example, we often see Yeshua casting out evil or unclean spirits from people, as in Mark 1:26. And the unclean spirit convulsing the man and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. There are also spirits that can exert authority and power in the world, as Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, that there are world forces of this darkness and spiritual things of the evil in the heavenly places. And there are other spirits besides these that are mentioned in the Bible as well. And finally, the scriptures teach us that we also have a spirit. That part of who we are is spirit, whether or not we believe in God. Zechariah 12:1 teaches us that Adonai stretched out the heavens and founded the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. Ezekiel 13:3 shows us how our spirit can be in conflict with God's, saying, "Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." And in Exodus 35:21, as the people of Israel were beginning construction on the tent of meeting, it says that they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution. So, like the wind, a spirit in the Bible is an unseen force that moves upon or within us. Like the wind, we can lean into and resist a spirit, push back on it, or we can allow it to influence us and move us where it wants us to go. So depending upon which spirit it is, that can be either a good or a bad thing. The Holy Spirit, then, is always wanting to move us in the direction of God and the good that he wants us to do, while the spirits of this world are trying to exert their own influence, working to just push us around. The important thing we need to realize is that parallel to and intertwined with our material world is a very real spiritual realm, whether we realize or acknowledge it or not. And God operates in that spiritual realm through the Holy Spirit. So that's what a spirit is, an unseen supernatural force with the power to influence our lives. But why is he called the Holy Spirit? What makes the Holy Spirit holy? Well, the word holy in Hebrew is kodesh, and it means the same thing as its Greek counterpart, which is to be set apart, sacred, or separate. We see this separation of the Spirit, for example, in 1 Corinthians 2:12, where Paul contrasts the spirit of the world with the Spirit of God. He says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." And similarly, in 1 John 4:1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." So to say that the Spirit is holy is to say that of all the spirits of the world, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, stands alone and apart. He is unique. He isn't like the other spirits at all. Not in his power, not in the way he interacts with human beings, not in his substance, and not in who he is in the context of God. The Holy Spirit is set apart and clean. He is only godly and good, completely separated from filth and evil. So that's what it means for the Holy Spirit to be holy. And as for who the Spirit is in the context of God, while it's not extremely spelled out in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is indeed God and not merely a force or agent sent from God. As I taught in episode 68, we see in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, how Peter draws a parallel equivalence between God and the Holy Spirit, which I think is the clearest scriptural evidence of the Spirit being God. But we also find this somewhat cryptic section in Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:17, where he says, "Now the Master, or the Lord, or Adonai, that is God, is the Ruach, the Spirit." So there is definitely an equivalence there, though what Paul means by this is not entirely clear. We also find the Spirit being identified as having personal character traits in the book of John, where he refers to the Spirit of Truth, a reference to the Holy Spirit, with masculine personal pronouns like he and himself, as opposed to neuter pronouns like it or itself. For example, in John 15:26, he says that the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And in John 14:26, he says similarly that the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Further pointing to the Spirit's personal character traits, the scriptures also say that he can be made sorrowful, so he has emotions, and he has a mind, which means he can think, and he has a will, by which he can make his intentions known. We also have other indications from scripture that the Spirit is in fact God. For example, we know that the Spirit was there in the beginning, at the time of creation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where we find the very first occurrence of the word ruach in Scripture. We also know, according to Hebrews 9:14, that the Spirit is eternal. And more than that, as it says in Job 33:4, he was involved with our own creation, the Spirit of God has made me, and also in Yeshua's conception as a human being, as it says in Matthew 1:18, before Miriam's and Yosef's coming together, she was found to have conceived from the Ruach HaKodesh. So while the evidence for the Spirit's godness is admittedly somewhat murky, when taken as a whole, these scriptures very much seem to indicate that the Holy Spirit, like the Father and the Son, is God, and not just a force or agent of either the Father or the Son. Not to mention, the Spirit being God only further reinforces the fact that the Holy Spirit is indeed holy. We can also learn more about the Holy Spirit's character and who he is by observing how he's spoken of in Scripture. While Paul especially will often simply speak of him as the Spirit, in addition to the broad usage of the term Holy Spirit, we also find various other names that the Scriptures use to refer to him. And of the most widely used names are the ones that also refer directly to God, specifically the names the Spirit of the Lord, Ruach Adonai or Ruach Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and the Spirit of God, Ruach Elohim. Now we know that these two names are interchangeable because we see them used synonymously in Scripture. For example, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, Samuel tells Saul in verse 6, that the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you. And then in verse 10, Samuel's word is fulfilled, saying that the Spirit of God rushed upon him. So the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of God are equivalent. They're synonymous. We also know from the accounts of Yeshua's immersion that the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit are synonymous. For example, in Matthew 3:16, it says that the heavens were opened and he saw the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, descending as a dove coming upon him. And in the parallel account in Luke 3:22, it says that the Ruach HaKodesh came down upon him in a bodily form as if a dove. So whether the scriptures are referring to the Ruach Adonai, the Ruach Elohim, or the Ruach HaKodesh, they're all speaking about the same thing. What this tells us then about who the Holy Spirit is that he is of God, meaning that he belongs to or comes from God. He is Adonai's spirit or God's spirit and is as fully integrated with and inseparable from God as our own spirit is with and from us. So when we're interacting with the Holy Spirit, that means that we're interacting directly and spiritually with God. Scripture also uses several other references to describe the Holy Spirit, most of them occurring only once or twice, which provide further insight into his character. In addition to the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of God, we also see him called the Spirit of the Lord God, Ruach Adonai Elohim or Ruach Adonai Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Lord God being a fairly common biblical reference to God himself. He's also called the Spirit of the Living God, which speaks to how God is alive, active, and involved in our lives. He is the Spirit of Yeshua and the Spirit of Messiah, Ruach HaMashiach, showing his indivisible connection to Yeshua. And he is the spirit of unmerited favor or grace and the spirit of life, speaking to how the Ruach participates in our salvation. But of all the various ways that Scripture refers to the Holy Spirit, Yeshua goes into pretty significant detail describing one of the most important roles of the Spirit as the Spirit of Truth, which I mentioned earlier. He develops this concept in a few different places over several chapters of the book of Yochanan, John. So let's spend a little time taking a look at those. The first passage is in Yochanan chapter 14, beginning in verse 2. Yeshua says, "In the house of my Father are many residences. And if not, I would have told you, because I go on to prepare a place for you. And if I go on and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." Verse 15, "If you love me, you will pay attention to my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give to you another advocate, so that he may be with you to the age, the Ruach HaEmet, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world is not able to receive because it does not look for him nor know him. You know him because he remains with you and will be in you." Jumping down to verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you while I am remaining with you, but the advocate, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all things that I said to you." And also again, chapter 15, verse 26. "When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Ruach HaEmet, who comes forth from the Father, he will testify of me." So let's break this down. First of all, Yeshua says that the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, is an advocate. Other translations say helper, comforter, or counselor. The Greek word here means someone who's called to your side, to give you aid, help, or comfort, or in this case, to stand with you, like in court, as a lawyer or advocate on your behalf. And Yeshua says that the Father will give us the Spirit of Truth to be another advocate for us, implying that there is a first advocate. And that first advocate, of course, is Yeshua, as is confirmed by 1 Yochanan 2:1, "But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua the Messiah." So the Spirit is another advocate in addition to Yeshua. And we apparently need this other advocate to be with us, to be in us, and to remain with us, as Yeshua says, because Yeshua has gone away. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's gone to the Father's house to prepare a place for us. So while Yeshua is away, while we wait for him to return, the Father has given us the Holy Spirit to stand in for Yeshua until he comes again. The Spirit of Truth, then, continues Yeshua's work within us, in Yeshua's name, on his behalf, by standing with us and advocating for what is true, by teaching us and reminding us in our hearts, minds, and spirits of the testimony of Yeshua and the truth of his word. Yeshua further reiterates this in Yochanan chapter 16, explaining how the Spirit of Truth will continue on his behalf to speak Yeshua's word and to guide us into all truth. Beginning in verse 12, the Master says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you are not able to carry them now. But when he comes, the Ruach HaEmet, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak from himself, but he will speak as many things as he will hear, and he will tell you the coming things. He will glorify me, because he will take of what is mine and will tell it to you." And that the Spirit breathed these things to men as the means by which they eventually came to be written down is hinted at by Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16, where he says that every scripture is God breathed. So the Spirit of Truth acting as an advocate for us on Yeshua's behalf, guiding us into all truth, is one of the most defining names and revealing characteristics of the Holy Spirit. The last thing I want to look at today for insight about who the Spirit is a little bit of a left turn from what we've been looking at so far. But I think it's worth adding on a few more minutes for this very specific topic because it reveals an important point for our understanding. And that topic is what Yeshua says about speaking evil against or blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Now, the Master's teaching on this comes in the context of him casting out demons and the way the Jewish religious leaders respond to him. Let's take a look at this passage beginning in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Then a demon-possessed man, blind and mute, was brought to him, and Yeshua healed him so that the mute man both spoke and saw. But the Pharisees, having heard, said, "This one does not cast out demons except by Baal Zavuv, ruler of the demons." And knowing their thoughts, Yeshua said to them, "If Hasatan casts out Hasatan, he was divided against himself. How then does his kingdom stand? But if by the Ruach Elohim I cast out the demons, then the reign of God has already come to you. Because of this I say to you, all sin and evil speaking will be forgiven to men, but the evil speaking against the Ruach will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man," meaning Yeshua, "it will be forgiven to him, but whoever speaks against the Ruach HaKodesh, it will not be forgiven him, neither in this age nor in that which is coming." So the Pharisees heard about Yeshua healing the demon-possessed man, and they began spreading the lie that he was casting out demons by the power of the ruler of demons, that Yeshua was in league with Hasatan, Satan. And Yeshua begins his rebuke by first noting the absurdity of Hasatan casting out himself, that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. But then he says that it's not by Hasatan that he casts out demons, but by the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God. And if anyone says otherwise, then they're speaking evil against the Holy Spirit. So Yeshua is, in a sense, defending the Holy Spirit's honor. He's saying, "You can say anything you want about me, but don't you dare say that about the Spirit of God. Every sin is forgivable, but if you speak against the Holy Spirit, then there's no forgiveness for you ever." So to speak against or to slander the Spirit of God, or as Mark 3:28 puts it, to speak evil in regard to the Ruach HaKodesh, is to lie and say that the work of the Holy Spirit is the work of demons or Satan. To say such a thing is literally unforgivable, according to Yeshua. But why would that be the unforgivable sin? Why can you say anything against Yeshua and be forgiven, but not this specific thing against the Holy Spirit? Consider this in the context of what Isaiah 61 verse 1 prophesies about Yeshua and the Spirit of God. The prophet says, "The Ruach of Adonai Elohim is on me, because Adonai has anointed me to proclaim good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the broken of heart, to proclaim liberty to captives, and an opening of bonds to bound ones." So the Ruach that is on Yeshua to heal and to cast out demons is the same Ruach by which he is anointed as Messiah. What this tells us about who the Holy Spirit is, then, is that it is only through the Spirit's anointing and power that even Yeshua himself sets people free. Fake faith healers and charlatans aside, Yeshua tells us that the Spirit is not optional or ancillary, but necessary and essential. He's not to be ignored or trifled with, nor accused of being something not of God. To slander and deny the power, not of demons, but of the Holy Spirit to cast out demons and bring healing, is to slander and deny God himself, and specifically Yeshua's anointing to proclaim liberty to the captives. Slandering the Holy Spirit in this way casts doubt on the physical evidence and presence of the reign of God and questions the power of the Holy Spirit to still bring it to us today. That's why slandering or blaspheming the Holy Spirit is the one unforgivable sin. Knowing who the Holy Spirit is essential because it lays the foundation for understanding how to live spiritually in Messiah, to understand what the Spirit does for us, how he connects and interacts with us, which will be the topic of the next episode. In the unseen, intangible, yet very real spiritual world intersecting with our material one, God works through his unique and set-apart Holy Spirit to move our own spirit within us, teaching, reminding, advocating, and guiding us into all truth on Yeshua's behalf. We need the Ruach HaKodesh in order to latch on to the risen Yeshua, anchor us to our Creator, and make real in our hearts and minds the guarantee of our salvation. Paul teaches us in Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, having believed in Messiah, you were sealed with the Ruach HaKodesh of the promise, who is a down payment of our inheritance toward the redemption of that acquired possession to the praise of his glory. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, seals us with a promise that in Yeshua, our eternal inheritance with him awaits. One day, we will fully acquire that possession and receive our redemption. But until then, we've been given the Spirit as a down payment so that we can start living in the kingdom of God today. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Biblically Correct Podcast. If you like this episode and want to see us make more, then we need your help. Visit our website at biblicallycorrectpodcast.org to support the work of Perfect Word Ministries and MJMI through your much-needed donations. And of course, don't forget to rate, review, share, follow, or subscribe to the podcast to receive notifications whenever a new episode is posted. If you have any questions about this teaching, or if there are any other topics you'd like to see me cover, shoot me an email at kevin@perfectword.org. That's kevin@perfectword.org. Until next time, remember that every scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for refuting, for setting aright, and for instruction that is in righteousness, so that the man of God may be fully equipped, having been completed for every good act. Shalom.